Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with us this afternoon to answer all of your health questions. Nina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Yeah, enjoying the sunshine over the weekend.
Yeah, it's nice to see it, isn't it? I always say I think Ireland is too far north for Irish people. We like the sunshine. We'd prefer to be a bit further south, I think.
Yeah. Vitamin D, though, at the ready. It's great. Now, loads of questions coming in. 087 1400 106 is the number. This listener is 4 months postpartum, had preeclampsia. Hands are still swollen at times and swollen fingers. The GP has referred me for physio. I've now been discharged from the physio. I've exercises to do. There's a minor improvement. I'm wondering, is there anything else I can try and do? It's extremely frustrating, especially the swelling. My rings don't fit anymore.
So I guess there's a couple of things in that question. First of all, congratulations on your new baby. And second of all, I'm sorry you had preeclampsia, which obviously is a condition that can, you know, cause very high blood pressure and fluid retention and that towards the end of pregnancy. So I suppose the important thing is as well, you know, by definition, preeclampsia is sorted by delivering the baby. When the hormones settle, usually the preeclampsia does. If you're still having a lot of swelling, I guess my question would be, is are you still having some fluid retention? I definitely would want to know that your kidneys and liver, you know, function have returned to normal and that your blood pressure is OK. So I suppose I wouldn't be putting it straight down to just musculoskeletal, especially if you've done physio and it's 4 months after. So I suppose for you, I would say that's probably my favourite line here is go see your GP, have a chat and be examined.
You think it's worth a referral, Nina, at this stage? Yeah.
If they've been to the GP, I'm kind of assuming that the GP has made sure that these things have resolved. But, you know, swollen fingers, especially if you can't get your rings on, it can be a sign of fluid retention. And fluid retention is very much a core symptom of preeclampsia. And while it normally settles down, a very small percentage of people go on to have high blood pressure or issues with their kidneys or liver after. So it's one you don't want to miss it.
Okay. Listener has osteoarthritis in their hips and knees from an accident they were involved in as a teenager. And I also have psoriasis in my lower back as well. I'm just wondering, last week I've had to find a cafe to sit down for about a half an hour after visiting a library. My back seems unable to support me. Will I need an MRI?
Yes, so again, osteoarthritis is wear and tear arthritis. So, you know, that kind of pain does tend to get worse when you exert yourself. So, you know, we talk about the difference between inflammatory and wear and tear being if the pain gets worse when you exercise, it's probably wear and tear. If it gets worse when you rest, it's probably inflammation. But what I would say is if you're walking and you feel like your back is unable to hold you, you most definitely need to go to your GP and be examined. They can examine the strength in your legs, the nerves, and then decide if you need a scan. At a most urgent level, you know, if you find you're feeling, we talk about sitting on a numb donut. If you feel like right underneath your bottom is completely numb, or if your legs are literally not holding you up, then that can be a sign of serious pressure on the nerves. And that would be something you'd attend A&E with.
Okay, so you do need an MRI then, or at least a
referral. Well, they need to be examined, and GP will decide the best way to go with that. Yeah.
Just somebody else as well is on. Is it Prolia? Six monthly injections for osteo issues as well. I'm now getting tingling and slight numbness in my soles of my feet. Could there be a link? How long do I need to stay on the medication for, or is there a safer alternative?
So Prolia is an injection we use for osteoporosis, which is brittle bone disease. Usually when you start Prolia, the benefit is only there as long as you're on it. So in most cases, people do continue Prolia. But again, on a case by case basis, if it's suiting you. People who are on Prolia, the injection is twice a year. It's really important that you get bloods done in between those injections to make sure that your calcium levels are normal. And I guess tingling, particularly in hands and feet, can be a sign of changes in the calcium in your blood. Now, it may be totally unrelated, but I suppose that's one thing I would check with the doctor. Other than that, if the calcium is normal, the tingling and numbness in the legs might not be the Prolia. It might be more a reflection of maybe pressure on the nerves from the back causing kind of sciatic type pain, which can go down the outside of your legs and into the soles of your feet. So again, I guess the favourite line is go to your GP and be examined.
Could hay fever be kicking in already? I was sneezing all weekend, but not feeling too bad otherwise, says this texter.
So the short answer to that is yes. Yeah. I usually say to people, if you suffer from bad seasonal hay fever, consider starting your hay fever medicine around St. Patrick's Day. As the weather gets better, and we had good weather this weekend, you know, the pollen counts can start to rise. Also, remember, I know we talk about hay fever and people think it's a summer thing, but there are lots of other things can irritate the airways. Things like changes in the weather, a cold or a flu obviously can present with just sneezing initially. And it can be dust or molds or any of those things. So, you know, you can use hay fever medication for those symptoms any time of year. It doesn't just have to be in the summer.
Listener has glaucoma and taken Xanax. They're wondering, can that increase the pressure in your eyes?
They have glaucoma and they're taking Xanax. Yeah. So, I mean, Xanax should never be used regularly. So first of all, I would talk to your doctor about why you're on Xanax and should you be taking it regularly. And then if you're only taking it very occasionally, it's not going to make a massive difference. But, you know, you just need to check in with your eye doctors and make sure your eye pressures are good. But I suppose the caveat from that is nobody should be on Xanax all the time. It should only ever be used for the short term treatment of anxiety, which is really no more than 2 weeks at a time. And it's not likely to cause much damage in other parts of your body. Okay. If it's used correctly.
Listener's been on a course of calcium and vitamin D from their GP for 2 months now. But since taking the tablets, they're experiencing a lot of headaches. They're wondering, is it normal?
So no, it's not normal to have lots of headaches. Wouldn't be the first side effect I would think of from calcium and vitamin D. Again, people who have elevated calcium in their blood, headaches can be one of the side effects. Regular dosing of calcitue shouldn't cause your calcium levels to go very high, though. So maybe go have a chat with your doctor and make sure the levels are OK and maybe check out why else you might have the headaches.
This interesting text from a listener who says, we just had a baby 7 weeks ago, but we're actually finding it extremely tough going. She cries a lot. It's not colic, apparently. She's eating very well. She's growing well. But we're actually really struggling, particularly my wife. And I'm wondering if you have any advice you can to help to try and soothe the baby.
So first of all, congratulations on the baby. A good friend of mine was quite honest with me when after she had her first child. She said the first 6 weeks are awful. The second 6 weeks are a little bit better and it gets pleasant after that. The first few weeks of having a baby, you're getting to know the baby and they're getting to know you. And babies do cry a lot and they cry for various reasons. And in the first few weeks, you're really getting to know each other. You're getting to know their various cries. Colic is quite common, obviously. So that's one of the things. These babies particularly cry in the evenings and they can cry for hours on end. The good news is they're healthy babies. She's eating well and growing well, which would go against maybe something like reflux can be one of the things that causes babies to get upset. But that would often cause vomiting after eating. So sometimes it's important to make sure the baby's healthy, which it sounds like they have done, but always check in with the doctor if you think they're crying more than most other babies. And then sometimes it's just managing it. And you mentioned your wife, you know, finding it stressful. Those first few weeks, there's so much going on. Your body is changing. The hormones are changing. It's a very, very vulnerable time emotionally for women after having a baby, and they do need to be looked after very well. And I think sometimes I say to parents, it's about managing the crying, making sure each of you get a break from that, you know, so that you are getting a rest in between and being able to be with the baby. And in a way where you can cope with any stress that comes your way. So for a couple of reasons, it might be worth checking in with the doctor, make sure the baby's okay. And I would encourage your wife to go to the doctor and have a chat about how she's coping emotionally and that you emotionally support each other. And this is something that definitely needs to be a team approach.
Okay. My little 7-month-old granddaughter has eczema on her face and body, and I'm wondering if you could advise any good treatment.
So eczema is a condition of dry skin. So eczematous skin is dry skin. So the most important thing is kind of moisturizing the skin. It is really important that whatever you're washing the skin with, that you're using products designed specifically for eczema. So I don't mean specifically for babies. I mean specifically for eczema. They shouldn't be perfumed. They should go on easily. They shouldn't suds up, like no sudsing soap, no bubble baths, things like that. And then they need the moisturizer needs to be applied at least daily, if not several times a day. To keep the skin moist. Eczema can get infected. So again, if it's really red and angry, go see your GP. We sometimes prescribe steroids. In a 7-month-old baby, that's likely to be the management. In babies who develop eczema under 3 months, the allergist, I remember Dr. Vernon Crumlin mentioning that if they develop eczema under the age of 3 months, there's a higher chance that there's some kind of food association. So maybe have a chat with the doctor about that. But in the majority of cases, it's not food related. It's just skin care.
Okay. Yeah. Just final one. A 50-year-old female had my gallbladder taken out last year. I'm struggling since with lazy bowel and constipation. How can I help it? I'm actually quite depressed about the situation.
I'm sorry, that's getting you down. Yeah, so your gallbladder is involved in digesting fats. Bile helps break down fat in the gut. So some people do feel after their gallbladder is removed that the transit of food through their gut changes. I suppose keep a diary of the food and the symptoms. You might find certain triggers that make your symptoms worse. And if you can identify those, avoid them. There are lots of things you can take to soften stool. You can talk to your pharmacist, your GP. They'll give you something to help things moving through. And again, if you're really constipated, don't automatically put it down to the gallbladder. Go have a chat with your doctor about other possible causes.
Okay. Dr. Nina Burns from GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. Nina, thanks a million for joining us here.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.